We spoke a lot about the pasuk of Ato Yodata. We dwelt upon that pasuk. I really enjoyed that pasuk a lot. I really found that some of the stuff in the Mefarshim was really very enlightening. So let's now go to our pasuk Hey. Pasuk Hey begins against Perek Lamed Zayin. Pasuk Lamed Hey, is this thing working over here? I got it. Oh, now it's on. Okay, I'm sorry. Now it's on. Okay. Perek Lamed Zayin. Pasuk Hey. Koyamar Hashem Elokim Lo Atzama So'ela So says Hashem. Concerning these bones, I will bring within you spirit. I will return, I will bring within you spirit, and you will live. Pasuk Vav, v'nasati aleichem gidim, I will bring upon the bones, the sinews, v'ha'aleisi eschem basar, and I will then bring upon the sinews basar, v'koramti aleichem or I will form, a koram is a film. The R is the film that covers the body. Very interesting terms here. V'nasati v'chem ruach. I will insert another. Here we have over here. If you read the psukim very, very carefully, there are a lot of mysteries, a lot of secrets being revealed over here. The R is called a film.
Skin.
The R is skin. R is skin, and it calls the skin v'koramti aleichem. What is the precise word v'koramti? The Mitzvah says Miloshon Kirum, can klipa, like the shell of an egg. Now the klipa normally,
or in anatomical terms, a membrane.
A membrane. That's what I was looking for. Thank you. A membrane. And normally, when you talk about a membrane, it normally is insignificant. The krum, the klipa. Klipa is, in fact, a term which is always used in Kabbalah as evil. The klipos. They are klipos all over the place. They represent the forces of evil. And yet it's very fascinating that the term that has been chosen to describe leather or the skin of man is called this word, the koramti. And that's not something that we would think. We would not necessarily use this word. We would think that the skin of man is sacred. There's something very holy about it. Like ki koran or panof. Moshe Rabbeinu's skin, it shined. Which represents the
Quran
or Parnav. The or of Moshe's face, Quran, shine, radiated. So that means that Moshe's skin wasn't a klipa. A klipa always has a connotation, it's a wrapper. It's a shell, it's a wrapper.
Something disposable.
Disposable, exactly. It's just a temporary shell, temporary wrapper, has no significance. That's the way we understand a kerem, with a kuf, with the kuf and the klipa and yet it's shocking. It's shocking here. This pasuk takes uses that term in reference to the or, and if not for this, I mean throughout Chazal again the skin is sacred. What?
Gemara talks about the reason you can't get buried is because the guy's going to use it as a doormat.
They're going to take the skin of their parents.
Right.
And they're going to use it as a doormat. Okay, because it's not makabel tumah. If the skin's not makabel tumah. Okay, it's a good point. So you talk to see that some people they begin to think that the skin has absolutely no significance. Maybe in Achnami. I mean, yesh v'yesh. In the beginning of the Torah, it says Hashem made for Adam and Chava kosnois or vayal bishem. So the kosnois or is spelled with an ayin. Okay, kosnois or vayal bishem. But yet in the Sefer Torah Shel Rabbi Meir, kosnois or is spelled with an aleph. Which means Hashem made radiant. There was radiance, some type of covering of radiance. Now it's not a coincidence that the same word or is either going to be with an ayin or an aleph, which has a significance. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he didn't make for the Adam and Chava something new. According to Rabbi Meir, their skin, the skin itself, radiated. And that itself was the form of, that's like a symbolic, a spiritual type of malbush. So again, you see this idea that the or itself is sacred. There's something sacred. Moshe Rabbeinu's or was sacred. The Adam Kosnois or, Aleph Ayin, the two go together, which means that the leather itself, the skin itself, was sacred. Look at the Kinos of Rabbi Yishmael. When they flayed his skin, so he gave out a scream and the whole world shaked and quaked. So you see, there's something special about his skin. It's not just the daughter of the Kesar said the beauty. How could you go and kill this man? This man is the beauty of his countenance is so beautiful. You can't just kill him. So you're right, we have to kill him, but we'll preserve the skin, we'll preserve the yoifi, the radiance of his face. Now obviously there's a lot more than just the physical beauty. Obviously the daughter of the Kesar saw in him the fact that we mentioned this, there's some type of spiritual beauty that is coming through in the Or Panav Shel Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. And yet, over here, it's shocking. V'koramti aleichem or, Hashem says, I'm going to bring this person back to life. I'm going to cause the bones, upon the bones, the dry bones, gidim will now develop. And then I'm going to cause the or to be a klipa, just some type of membrane. Okay, maybe that's the beginning. I guess it's
wrapping a covering.
A covering. It's like a very, very ordinary, very mundane, very pedestrian approach towards the significance of the skin. V'nasati v'cham ruach. Now this is very difficult. It says already ruach. What's going on over here? Pasukei it says hinei mevi v'chem ruach. I'm going to bring within you spirit. So the spirit of life already has come. So why in pasuk vav then say nochamal v'nasati v'chem ruach? If you were an editor, you would strike this from the text. Repetition. What's the repetition over here? What's going on over here? Why are you repeating this ruach? Ah, v'chisem, you're going to live. It already said, and now when it says the gidim and the basar and the or, why the repetition? So this is something which has to be discussed on a very similar level as poetic repetition. But obviously it appears there are two different types of spirits.
Right.
We know, for example, that a person has five neshamas. Nefesh, ruach, yechida, I don't remember them. There are five different terms. For what? Five different terms that are used. This blew my mind in Rabbi Kahn Shul on Avenue J and East 18th Street. So they have five neros by the Amud. The minig there is Rabbi Kahn. He has every tefillah you have to light. They don't have an electric light. They actually light. So most shuls where they light two. There you light five. And why there are five? Because there are five different Kiyer Lakim Nishmas Adam, and there are five different dimensions to the Neshama. Neshama, Yechida, Ruach, I don't know, there are five different expressions, and they actually have a little plate by all the five Neros. It says the five words, the five different words. I've never seen this anywhere. This is totally...
By the Neros?
Yeah. Right in front of the Neros, they have five, they have like a plate, like a metal plate, and it says the five different terms of the Neshama. And there are five neros, and you light the five neros before you daven for the yom of the shatz. He lights the five neros. I never seen this anywhere. Any shul I've gone, I've never seen such a thing to have five, and to have in front of the five actually the names of the various dimensions of the neshama. That's really, it's unique. It's a unique type of thing. I don't know where he got this from. In Tarvi Das, they light two candles, and on a day when you don't say tachnun, they light three candles, and Shabbos Friday night they light five. They light five, and that's it. So it's either going to be five, three, or two. Five, three, or two. And you right away know if there's no tachlin. If you see there are three candles lit, you know that there's no tachlin for that particular tefillah.
I want to go off on a tangent again. The Abdullahs, they use the word karma.
Karma? What's
that? Karma means like a spiritual skin. And this is
karma.
The source for this.
Okay, interesting.
Also, the word ceramic.
Yeah.
Is in Hebrew we call it karam, karmi.
So you want to say it's like a klipa.
It's like a coating.
All right.
Like the skin coating from it.
And it's interesting. There are a lot of English words, modern words that are definitely rooted in biblical Hebrew.
I actually saw
yesterday paradox. What is the word paradox come from? So someone wrote it. It has to come from paraduma. Paradox is paradox. But why? Because paraduma is the ultimate paradox. That's what Chazal say. It's metahar esatmeim and metameh esatahoyrim. So it's paradox. The paradox is taken from, is that true? Is that nonsense or coincidence? Who's to say? Or any of them, we have over here, you're saying an interesting thing. The Quran to them, or
that's a pre-assization of everything.
There's a book called Word. You ever see that book? There's a big book.
I once looked at it, and a lot of it is ridiculous.
Okay.
Anything that sounds like something
must
be something. Yeah, there's a
lot of work. A lot of work. Okay. In any event, we have over here. Obviously, there are different dimensions to the neshama. There's a ruach that comes in advance. I'm going to be in Ruach V'chisem. There's some type of basic spiritual force which causes the person's bones to come back together and to form and add Gidin, Atzamos, and Basar, and Ar. And then after the person is alive, there's another type of dimension of life that Hashem brings within a person to have him go forward. And maybe it's more the spiritual dimension of life. There's the physical dimension of life, and then there is this spiritual dimension of life. Animals also have a life force, but the life force of an animal is a physical manifestation of life. A human being, Hashem gives him a spiritual. Now, a goy also has something more than an animal. There's also a dimension of spirituality, but it's nothing like what a Jew has. A Jew has an entirely different dimension of spirituality. You see over here, get a little bit of a taste that there are different types of spirits that a Kadosh Baruch Hu brings upon a person, and that's what's happening over here.
He touches on this, and what he gets into, the reason for the repetition here of the spirit again, is because things are coming out of order, it would seem. You're going to build something and then put life into it, but it says initially that if you're going to put the ruach in it and then you're going to start building the bones, and on what? I mean, you have to have, you know, you build a robot and then plug it in or whatever it is and then turn on the engine, so to speak. Here it talks about turning on the motor and then first building the human being back. It seems out of sequence, and therefore he mentions it again, sort of. Doesn't really come with a finality.
But it's an obvious problem.
He recognizes the problem.
Right. It's an obvious difficulty in the pasuk. Why are we repeating the theme of Ruach twice? And I think at a very similar level, you have to recognize that Chazal, very often they discuss the different dimensions, different types of spirits that are found in a human being, life forces, which are all very mystical beyond our understanding, which are connected.
For Rav Meir, with the R spelled with an olive, you take a look. I mean, it's my own. I've noticed so many times in Shas that when they darshan a name, that usually it has to do with the person's own name that she's talking about. Rabbi Yehuda does that a couple of times.
Mayor, right.
And Mayor, because of the light.
His name is Mayor.
Because his name is Mayor. It's so
much.
So it always has to do with the person.
It all comes back, that is correct.
Himself, his name involved.
Okay, now, You know, you also find like in a cemetery, it's very hard for us to understand this idea, but just like Eliyo Hanavi, let's say in town there are 5 brisim in town. Let's say over in the entire world, how many bris milas happen today? I have no idea. I don't know what the statistics are. But obviously there's more than one. So how could Eliyo Hanavi be in more than one place at one time?
Takes Uber.
Uber. So obviously in the spiritual world, there are a different set of rules. It's not a contradiction for a neshama to be in multiple places and multiple times. And they say that every person, when you go to a cemetery, so where is the neshama? So why in general do we bury people? Why is there a tzion on the person's kever? So they say that is for one dimension of his neshama. There are many dimensions to the neshama. The bulk of the neshama is in the Olam HaEmes. And there are other parts of the neshama that are other places. And one dimension of the neshama is rooted in the kever, is rooted by the tzion, by where he's buried, so that when a person comes to visit the kever, they're connecting with that person. Really? Isn't it boring to sit around in the cemetery the whole day? Well, that's just one element of the neshama. The neshama is broken up into nefesh, yechida, ruach, and the main activity is those parts of the neshama are elsewhere. How could the neshama be broken up into many different parts, splintered into many parts, and be in different places at the same time? Well, obviously, we have no understanding of how these things work, but that's what Chazal tell us. So you see, again, in this pasuk, over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is injecting in these bones different types of spirits to give them their life force. Now let's see these psukos. These are the instructions. So therefore, we have concluded the instructions, and now we're soon going to have the results. If you notice, we have 3 parts, really many parts. But so far, the first part is the training. Hashem says to Yecheskel, you have to go first for training, and that's all hinted to in the pasuk we spent yesterday. Hasichya atzamos va'ila. Can it really happen? We discussed the whole shiur yesterday, what this means, but basically that all boils down to Hashem sent Yecheskel off to boot camp, okay, to learn all about learn all about Emunah, Tchias HaMesim, fine. He comes back all polished with his degree in hand. Rebbeinu Shlomo, I got my degree. I know all about Emunah, about Tchias HaMesim. Now, okay, very good. I'm giving you your first assignment. Your assignment is, you see these bones over here? I want you to blow on them. I want you to call the wind, the spirit wind, to come from all four sides. Another ruach, if you notice. See, that's really the third. I didn't really realize. That's already a third ruach. If we learned yesterday, I'm all mixed up. Hashem called the spirit from all four sides. Didn't we have that somewhere? Yeah, pasuk beis. Veviani aleihem saviv saviv yine rabbi smoid al pnei habik avide yivesha smoid. Okay. Case. Pasuk aleph. Okay, that's where Hashem. But that's where Hashem took. That's not the ruach of the giving life to the dead bones. That's the ruach of prophecy. Prophecy that Hashem is speaking to Yechezkel and giving him his instruction. Okay, but let's leave that for now. We have here, the first section is training. The second section is instructions. The third section is his attempt. His actual, he goes out into the field. He does it. He does the command. And then the fourth part is HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what is this, the message? What is the lesson to learn from all of this for Klal Yisrael? Everything has to be broken down to its parts. You want to say something?
Yeah. Hashem is doing training now. How old is he? How long was he with
you? Always need retraining. Even when you're 99 years old.
The Torah gets into, because Hanani made, when did it happen? When you saw Hanani Vazari, you were going to jump in, and they said, Lehechon Hoysa, where was he? They should have been.
He wasn't a youngster.
Yecheskel, what's going to be? And God didn't want them, Yecheskel, to be around so that they should do it without any knowledge of what's going
to
happen.
You always need to be retrained. Of course, that's what a person, a Talmud Chacham is a student. A person is a student his entire life. There's no such thing as ever finishing your studies in the world of Torah. I mean, you get smicha, you get a degree, you get a job, but you have to always grow and learn. When I took a rabbinic training course, so one theme that came out from all of the Rabbanim was that if you think you enter Rabbanus, you're finished, you got your degree, you know halacha, and now you're just here to serve the balabatim, you're here to do services, officiate and give a few drashas, and you're not going to have any more serious development in learning, you're not going to learn on your own and go to shiurim, you're finished, you're dead in the water. There's nothing to talk about. There's no, it's, if you're in a position of rabbanus, the ikar is to be a student.
Recertified.
You have to be a student your entire life. That's the difference between, I want to be a beautiful God. Yeah, that's Esav. What Esav say? Esav said he was an ish sadeh. Yaakov ish tam yoshev aholim. The Esav is an ish sadeh. What does the pasuk say?
It's
an ish sadeh. What do you mean ish sadeh? He had a degree in sadeh. He was an ish. Esav held himself to be I have a PhD. I'm an ish, which basically means I'm an accomplished person. I have a postdoctorate in what? In the field of sadeh. In the field of sadeh.
Field of the field,
exactly. Maybe that's where it comes from. He had a degree in hunting.
He went to Hunter College.
Okay, Hunter College, but it wasn't just in hunting. It meant in hunting the world. In he had a degree in psychology. In the word ish sadeh means, Sayyid means, in order to trap all of the good that there is in this world, to accumulate the wealth and bring it to himself. This was, and I'm finished. I am an accomplished person. I went to all the Ivy League schools. I studied with all the professors. There's nothing more for me to do. I am an ish. I am complete. And my degree is in being a tzayid, in sadeh, period. Yaakov, in contrast, was the perpetual student. Yoshev Holim. He's still going from one base medrash to another base medrash. He's always seeking to hear a good shiur. He's always seeking to learn more and more. You never end. The question is a very valid question. Over here, Yecheskel, the Perek Lamed Vav. Yecheskel is quite an accomplished person. He knew quite a bit. Hashem says, no, we're now going on a new mission, Tchias HaMesim, and I'm sorry, everything you've learned until now is not going to help you accomplish this mission. You have to go for retraining. That, we discussed yesterday, means, do you really believe, do you really know what this is all about? Maybe you should go and you should do a self-analysis. You should psychoanalyze yourself to determine if you're really holding at the madrega of Tchias HaMesim, Emun in Tchias HaMesim, before we proceed and go forward. And indeed, Yechezkel comes back and he says, I've done the best I possibly can do, and only Ata Yodata, only you can tell me, Hashem, if I have reached the level that is necessary to proceed, if my grades are high enough, if I have the skills where we can proceed. And the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, let us proceed, Hashem basically is saying to him, it's satisfactory. You didn't get 100, but, 99.
Pass-fail course,
you passed the course, it's good enough, and you can now proceed. Here are the instructions. I'm sending you on a mission, and let's see if you can accomplish it. Yeah?
Was Yecheskel going to do this awakening of the bones in front of an audience, or just him?
Yes, it appears so. It appears, the Chazal say that the bones, they went to Nebuchadnezzar. As the bones began to form, they rattled. They came out of the grave, and these skeletons, the walking dead, right? The walking dead. It's a television show, right? It's a crazy... The walking dead, when they went to Nebuchadnezzar, the skeleton, before they fully developed, and they started beating him up. They started banging on Nebuchadnezzar says, what's going on? Who are these walking dead in the palace? What's going on? So they told him, these are the people that you killed. These are the people that you killed in Bikas Dura. You killed these people, and here they're coming to haunt you. They're coming to take revenge.
Did the Jewish people know about it?
Well, if we know about it, okay, if we're reading, we're sitting over here, then it must be they knew about it. Okay, if we know about it, they knew about it.
No, but
cannot be.
What I'm getting at.
I don't know. I didn't see inside.
Yeah.
Most yeah. The whole crowd was watching.
Right. So it would have been a Kiddush Hashem.
Exactly.
So was that Hashem's
yes.
message here? There should be a Kiddush Hashem to open
the Yes, yes. Yeah. Obviously, because that's what's at the end. We didn't get to the end of the parak. The end of the parak is that everything that's happened is a marshal for Klal Yisrael. They should not despair. Even though Klal Yisrael used themselves as being in a state of Atzamos Yideshos, there was a Churban, we're in Galus, it's over. It's over. There's no hope.
I
hear your question. I cannot quote for you chapter and verse, but I believe the impression that we get is yes, this event was a publicized event. Did every single person in Klai Shul see this? I don't know, but it wasn't a secret. It wasn't a secret. It was known that Yechezkel brought back to life the Atzamos Yideshos, and this was a marshal for Klal Yisrael. It was like Moshe Rabbeinu that assembled the entire 600,000 people, 3 million people in front of him, and hit the rock. It doesn't seem like that.
No, but you get this feeling from the Gemara that these people, if they didn't actually see it taking place, if these people appeared, and when, that's why the Machlokas in the Gemara and Chelek is, what happened to these people? And so if they mingled with other people, and people said, where did you come from? And that's how they found out. I mean, that's the impression you get from the Gemara.
But that's the old question, right? The people saw these nisim and these supernatural things, and they still...
They still question Hashem.
Life was magic.
Look in the Midbar.
Science was in its infancy, so what did they know? Everything was attributed to God. When it rained, it was God that did it. When it was cloudy, God did it.
Look at Har Sinai. Hashem came down, b'chvoid v'yad, he said to them, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Lo Yelecha Elohim Achinim Al Ponai. Hashem said these words directly. You could not have an experience in this world greater than that. Don't make for yourself other gods. 40 days later, they're dancing around the eagle. Eila Elohecha Yisrael.
That has been in my mind like forever, ever since I learned the word Moshe.
Because,
people are witnessing
that was.
See, when they sing, I'm splitting of the sea.
But that's why the Mepharshim say that the people that did it basically were the Erevrah.
But there was tolerance. Tolerance.
The sin was tolerance.
Tolerance. So that's still the same thing. There's no difference.
Right. Yeah. 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 So yeah. That's the point. But they didn't instigate.
But still, the fact that it was tolerated is how could you?
Not to say it's less guilt, but the idea is.
It's a pella. You're right. It's a wonder. Obviously, the Yetzirah. We have no appreciation of what it was. The Yetzirah to worship idols. Okay. Look at a young person whose hormones are on steroids when it comes to an isha. The whole world is really suffering from the nesayon of a taiva l'noshim, and that's only half of what existed in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, and that combined that with the equivalent of a desire to worship idols, and the two, it's not just 1 + 1 = 2. The sum is greater than the parts. Because Chazal say the only reason why people worshipped idols was for the purpose of engaging in arayos. So the two work hand in hand. So it's not just, we only have today a fourth of the Yetzirah that existed in that time. We have a fourth of the Yetzirah that existed in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, but the fourth really was exponentially greater than just the... So we're dealing over here with the Nesiyonis are just off the charts.
We must be like the greatest tzaddikim ever.
Yes. To some degree, yes. Considering, yes, Chazal indeed say that the people living east of the Meshicha, the Nesiyonos that they're dealing with, that's right. They're living in very special times. The opportunity we have today to remain Yireim and Shleiman and do mitzvos is in some respects, many respects, far, far greater than the Kadmonim had. So you have opportunities for us are just unbelievable. The Makana, us, the previous generations on Makana, that they can be living, we can be living now, the ikvus of the Mashiach, and the world is spinning out of control, and we can be Maminim, B'nei Maminim, and do Avodas Hashem, and come and learn over here every single morning. It's unbelievable. It's off the charts. The Zechus is unimaginable. Unimaginable, absolutely.
What was her name?
I always said that with my father. My father lost his entire family in the Holocaust. 5 concentration camp Jews, all death camps.
Wow.
And he came back, he had one aunt lived in the Bronx, not from, he couldn't have, yeah, came off the boat, and he was from.
And my brother and
I always said, what would we have done?
That's right, I always say that to myself also. What I have, it's amazing. Anyone that came out of that and remained from is a malach elokim.
You remained from, or you saw God in.
A malach elokim. A malach elokim. You can't understand what was going through their minds at that time. Yeah. It's impossible for anyone living today to have any appreciation of the nisayon of what these people went through.
The ones who turned away from Yishai is because they saw God.
It's because they saw
God.
And therefore?
And they didn't like what they saw.
They saw evil.
It's not because they didn't evil. Know.
Okay, these are matters
said.
That are way over my head, way over our head. We have to appreciate that it's impossible to understand what went on. Person to lose everything, and to come here to America. In America, there was nothing here. And yet to choose to be Shomer Torah Mitzvos, it's just unbelievable. A malach elokim.
You have the
malach elokim. Yeah.
The first Holocaust survivors came to Eretz Yisrael for the first 4 or 5 years.
There was nothing in Eretz Yisrael.
They were treated like
dirt poor,
like you know, third country people. They say you can't.
You read what it was like. It's unimaginable. Besides the conditions, just the frame of mind. The frame of mind to lose everything, to lose everything, and to see 6 million people, the whole nation, just to be wiped off the face of the earth, and then to come to a foreign land, not like America wasn't then what it is today. You come to America and there's nothing. The depression, people are just struggling to survive here in America as well, and you choose to be Shomer Torah Mitzvos to go against the tide. It's unbelievable. It's just not to be believed.
In the Sivos, that's why he gets into a Kisisa and he brings in Elisha ben Ahuya.
Yeah.
It's a long, like 15 pages, but he just says that he thought God, the mistake that Bnei Yisrael, what he made, basically he says Hashem made the mistake in thinking that since Bnei Yisrael saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the heavens opened up and they heard Pia Gvura, God talking to them. So basically when you're born and God gives you a Yetzer Tov and a Yetzer Hara, and he assumed that since Bnei Yisrael experienced God himself talking to them, he figured, I could trust these people, and he turned off the switch. And that's what happened. And because of that, the Egel happened. So he had to give back. And he said the same thing happened to Elisha Ben Avuya. He was had reached such a level of godless when he was growing up that he turned off the switch from Elisha Ben Avuya, and he went off to Derek. And that's why we need a Yetzer Hara, Yetzer Tov, to have that little voice in our head constantly, don't do it, don't do it. For certain people who experience God firsthand, he figured they don't need it. I could literally turn off the switch and they will be.
It's a very hard idea to understand.
Yeah. It gets into a long explanation.
Okay, let's read the Mefarshim. Okay, up the Pasuk in the Mitzudos David. The Pasuk says, Mevi v'chem ruach v'chem aloi mar beho atzamos yavir ruach v'avir noyshef. I will inject in the bones wind and ear will blow. Umizayovim at chayus bo'at samos lehisno anea. It will cause the bones to shake. Uliskorev zelozek kamafarish b'in, like it's going to say in a few moments, the bones are going to connect. They're going to connect one with another. That idea is brought out over and over. There's some principle of bones connecting with one another. Mm-hmm. What's the significance of that? We'll see maybe a little later on. Venasati acher basically means every bone. What is a bone? A bone is etzem. Bone means your identity. The atzmeut, your essence. A person is made of many bones. How many bones are there in the skeleton? Anyone know the number? There are a lot of bones in the skeleton. Probably some Google in 10 seconds. There are a lot of bones, which means a person has many dimensions to his personality, to his... has how many? The person has many dimensions to his personality, to things that he considers to be his core. But Hashem made man complex where all of these things, they interact with one another. Just because you have a personality where you're very tough, some people, or you're a very firm believer in a certain idea. But you have another bone in your body, which means I'm also a believer in this. And those two things don't necessarily go together. Part of the complexity of human being is the bones, the etz atzamos, they are linked. They're connected one with another. There has to be balance. There are times when this principle is what counts, and there are times in the day when this principle does not count. Etzem means atzmiut. It means your essence. Every person has things which to them mean a lot. For some people, you know, if you don't learn a daf a day, you don't learn a daf yomi, you know, that's my whole life. Other people, you know, daf yomi is not my thing. I like to learn chumash. I like to spend my time learning chumash. Some people, they're hashkafa, they're very makbid, they're very makbid on tznius, they go crazy. Other people, you know, I'm okay with tznius, but like, I don't go crazy over these things. I know people that go crazy over kashrus. I don't understand them, they're just obsessed. I think it's a sickness. Obsessed with after every alert that exists in the world, they have to get in their email from the OU and the Chaf K and the Star K and this K. They have to have every alert, and they're obsessed. If this product is not kosher, you know, other people, most people I know, doesn't bother them. I mean, it's good. You have kosher, we have a hechsher, so it's not up to standard for every single, right? Every person has things which are their bones. They're etzem. But it's not just one bone. You have a lot of bones. And when you have a lot of bones, the beauty of life is all of the bones have to somehow come together and form another. They have to synthesize. They have to balance. That's the complexity of a human being, and that's what you see in this psukim over here. The bones, they connect one with another. That's how man is formed, with multiple bones coming together. Pasuk Vav, Achar Sheyis, Pasuk Vav says in the Mitzudos, Achar Sheyis Karvu Hatzamos Kolech Lemakom Haroiloi Etin Alem Gidim. After the bones, they connect. Then Hashem says, I'll put upon them Gideon, the sinews, lechaber ulekasher hatzamas zebaze, in order to connect. Lechaber ulekasher, the bones one to the other, v'koramti e'selechem krum shalor, a film, a membrane of leather, v'achar ze'etein bochem ruach.
Skin in this case.
What?
Skin.
Skin, I'm sorry, skin. Then I'll put, okay, skin, ruach hachiyuni, a life force, v'sisharu chayim v'kayim, they will remain alive, ki ani Hashem, v'akol b'yodi, there's nothing that I cannot do. Let's see over here, it's in Rashi, Rashi subsuk in pasuk vav, there is no Rashi in pasuk hey, v'nosati aleichem gidim, u'v'sefer iyov hu'oimer, or uvasar tal b'sheni. Now, Sefer Iyov is a great Sefer, we learned this once upon a time, a great Sefer that describes the creation of life. Iyov, in his state of Yisurim, often in his I don't know what you want to call it, anyone call it a tirade, you call it his, I don't know, in his frustration, he reflects upon his creation, the beginning of man. Very common theme in Sefer Iyov. Many psukim scattered all about, when Hashem created me, why? What was he thinking? Did he want me to suffer? And they have all these various psukim, and there it says, or uvasar tal b'sheni, and then tachila, the achar koch, it says, uva'atzamos v'gidim tisseichicheni, and then Hashem, he sheltered me with bones and sinews. So this is the question which all of the commentators, Rashi over here is opening up a big topic of discussion. Everyone gets their hand into this discussion, the contradiction. In Iyov, we learn that a human being is formed first, the basar. The basar, the soft material, the red material, the blood, and the basar come first. After those things are all in place, then first it begins to develop the bones, the atzamos, and the gidin.
Where do we say the dam comes from the mother and the
Gemara gidin? Says this. Very good. You touch it.
Come from the man.
The Gemara says that all of the red matter comes from the mother, and all of the white matter comes from the father, and Hashem provides the neshama, the spiritual matter. The mother is the red matter, the father is the white matter. Is that true in science? Someone told me no. Someone told me that this chazal cannot be taken literally because as far as the science is concerned, does not appear,
the DNA,
the chromosomes, how man is formed, does not appear that science...
Adam didn't have a father, he only had a mother.
Adam HaRishon had nothing. What do you say?
He was created. The father doesn't...
There is no parents, there's no mother, no father.
But it was a created thing, so he had all the kayach of the dam. He didn't have any
bones. And the etzim also, he had the kayach of the bones also. I don't understand. Adam HaRishon is an exception.
That's why we have bones.
We have bones and we have the red matter. The Gemara says the red matter is the mother, the white matter is the father, the bones and the gidim of the father, and the basar and the dam is the mother. What that means, how do you reconcile that with modern science is a very important question. And science is always changing the minds of scientists, so we don't know what the bottom line is, what it means. But this is not our topic of discussion, but this is a chazal, it's a famous chazal. I just had a very, very fascinating discussion with Heseba. Heseba, personally, trains Hatzalah. Talks about choking. He's one of the Hatzalah. He trains all the new Hatzalah members on the Heimlich maneuver. And he always, the Chazal said that in Pesach, you're not supposed to lean on the left side. If you lean on the left side,
on the right side.
You're supposed to do Heseba on the left side, because if you lean on the right side, you're going to choke. Shema Yakim Konel Leveshet. So that's how he opens up his training to the Hatzalah members. And he says, this Chazal, and it's quoted, it's a Gemara, and it's quoted in the Mishnah Berurah, and it's quoted, and everyone quotes Chazal. He says, scientifically, it's not true. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference if you lean to the left, if you lean to the right. The only sakon is to lean back. If you lean back, then you're in trouble. If you lean back when you're eating, you're in a lot of trouble. If you're sitting up like this, and you're eating your matzah this way, or you're eating your matzah this way, or you're drinking your wine this way, you're drinking your wine this way, it doesn't make any difference left or right. If you go like this, you're in a lot of trouble. So what does Chazal then mean when it says you should not do a seba on the right side? So he has an explanation. He explained to me what he thinks, what a Chazal, what do you think? But it's not, you have to understand that, you have to be understand, Chazal, they were not fools. Chazal knew this. Chazal, they studied anatomy. It's not even chacham to open up the throat and to see how things work. That's not from the most complex forms of science. So they knew this very well, yet they said it. So what exactly did they mean when they made this statement? So he explained to me, and not for now, I don't really fully grasp what he's telling, but he's using that as a way to introduce his topic of training the Hatzalah members what to do, Rachmana Litzlan, in a situation when there is a someone is choking. Exactly how to deal with it, and you have to understand the anatomy inside out. And since everyone in the audience is a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, and everyone in the audience is brainwashed, I don't mean a negative term, that there's a left and there's a right, we have to get that out of the way first. We have to get it out of the way before we can proceed in training you properly how to deal with Rachmana Litzlan, someone who is choking, to understand the anatomy. Okay, sitting over here. We're talking over here about how a man is created. We have the mother, the father, we'll get to in a moment, but over here we have a contradiction which everyone touches upon, everyone in the Farshim. Eloh, it says, first comes the Basar and the Dam, and then come the Gidin the Atzamos. Here in Yecheskel, it says, the other way around. First, in Tchiyas Samesim comes the Gidin the Atzamos, the bones, and then comes, the next pass is going to come the Basar.
Maybe Tchiyas Samesim works backwards.
Oh, exactly. So everyone has an answer. So look what Rashi says. Rashi says a simple answer. Okay, Rashi addressed the question. Rashi, when we tell the words of Rashi, Yev Chuam, it says, Oru Basar Tal Bisheni. Yev reflects upon his creation. You made me with Oru Basar. That's first, the Or and the Basar, Tchila. V'yachakacha came uve atzamos v'gidim tisoycheni. Did you shelter me? Did you enhance me? Did you strengthen me with bones and sinews? Elo l'mohayu suavastira. Elo l'mohayu elu doim. It's not a kasha. It's a very simple answer. L'adam shepoyshet v'choyzer v'loveish. A person who takes off his clothing and then puts his clothing back on. It's an interesting mashal Rashi gives. So shema shepoyshet acharon. What you take off last, loivei shrishain, is what you put on first. So therefore, avol betchila b'riyas havlad. So therefore, there's not a stira. Eiv is describing the very first creation of man, when Adam is formed in his mother's womb. And indeed, betchila b'riyas havlad oru basar tchila. First came oru basar, in the mother's womb. And after, later in the development of the mother's womb, yachakach atzamos v'gidin. But here, man has died, and he has decomposed in the grave, and he has the basar. What's the first thing? What was he poishet? When a body decomposes in the grave, what decomposes first? Basar and ar. Those are the first things to go. The bones can go on for years. Go on for decades, even hundreds of years, the bones, the conditions are right. If there's no humidity, the conditions are right, the bones can last for 1,000 years. If the conditions are not so good, the bones go very quickly also. Okay, the bones don't necessarily stay around that long. It all depends on what the conditions are. But first thing to go are the basar and the dam and the or. Then comes the bones. So now that's where the person is poishet rishon. What is he poishet? What does he remove? Acharon, the atzamos. So now, when it's Tchiyas HaMeisim, he is reconstituting himself, he's coming back to life, so whatever he took off last, he puts on first. First comes the Gidin and the Atzamos, and then comes the Basar and the Or. So it's not a Stira. Eov is discussing the formation of man in the mother's womb, and here we're discussing the formation of man from the grave, coming alive from the grave. He's not going into his mother's womb. A very simple answer. Okay, now let's finish the Rashi. Krum is lashon v'koramti, lashon krum. It is a membrane. Now let me tell you another answer, a little bit of a deeper answer, and that is, as Rav Meir touched upon this, Chazal said that the basar and the or and the dam comes from the mother. The gid and the atzamos comes from the father. What's the difference between the mother and the father with regard to a person's status in life? The mother determines if you're Jewish or non-Jewish. If you have a Jewish mother, you're Jewish. If you have a non-Jewish mother, and you maybe from your father's side, you come from the Baal Shem Tov, it doesn't matter. You're not Jewish. You're not Jewish. If your mother is not Jewish, no one can help you. You're not Jewish. But what does the father contribute? Yichus. Are you a Kohen? Are you a Levi? Are you a Yisrael? Are you an Einikol from the Baal Shem Tov? Or an Einikol from the Gra? The Yichus. Are you a Litvak? Are you a Chassid? Are you a Misnagid? Are you modern Orthodox? Are you a Tzioni? The Yichus, the essence of a person's spiritual...
You're not Jewish, what good is
Yichus? What?
You're not Jewish.
Exactly. So the mother, it gives you the basic connection to the nation, that you're Jewish. The father, your connection to your father puts you in a certain, gives you a certain status. It's spiritual status. A tafkid. Are you a Kohen Levi Yisrael? And by extension, you know, it's more than a Kohen Levi Yisrael. There's something to it. If your great-grandfather, from your father's side, was a certain type of person, that somehow, the genes don't disappear so quickly. The contribution that your father gave towards your DNA, it reawakens in you. That's more pronounced, it appears, at least from Chazal, from the father's side and the mother's side. Not always, okay, we knew people for that. From the mother's side.
You follow the custom of your father. Then.
You follow the custom of your father. There's something to it. There's something more dominant about a father, generally speaking, not all the time, of course, but generally speaking, there's something more dominant about the male gene with regard to your spiritual status. And the basic proof is, Yichus, Kohen Levi Yisrael. So here we go. When a person comes into this world, creation, your eager connection is from the mother. A connection is, you're a Jew, you're part of the nation. It's not so much your individuality. It's being part of the klal. At the time of Tchiyas HaMeisim, the emphasis is not just being part of klal Yisrael. The emphasis is on the Gidin and the Atzamos. They play a more dominant role in Tchiyas HaMeisim to indicate, to show us, Tchiyas HaMeisim is a time where we're going to focus on individuality. When Mashiach comes, and it's going to be Tchiyas HaMeisim, it's going to make a very big difference where you come from. It's not so much, oh, we got another member of the tribe. Another person came out of the ground. Great. So we now have another person that's part of Klal Yisrael. That's not the Iker. The Iker in Tchiyas HaMeisim is, we have another Kohen. We have another Levi. We have another Yisrael. We have another person that's a Mumcha in this Mitzvah. Another Mumcha in this Mitzvah. The Iker emphasis of Tchiyas HaMeisim is the individual Koichos HaNefesh, which is expressed in the Gidin V'Atzamos. In the Briyas HaOlam, and every new person that comes into Klal Yisrael until the time of Tchiyas HaMeisim, that's not the emphasis. The emphasis is, Baruch Hashem, we have another member in Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael has another member to add to its collection. And this person, over his lifetime, will develop with his individual Koichos HaNefesh to become a unique person. And then when he leaves this world, when he comes back, he's coming back as that person. That person with his unique contribution, his unique place in Klal Yisrael. Because that's what the Gidin V'Atzamos represent. You give me a very funny stare, Mr. Rappaport.
No, I mean, people are going to come back.
Well, we don't know nothing. We don't know nothing what's going to happen when people come back. It's all a big mystery.
So the guy who comes from had Alzheimer's or dementia, he's going to come.
Obviously not. Obviously, it's going to be a refuah. The person's not coming back to this world to suffer. Obviously, well, you know, they do say, it does say someone Chazal. It does say someone Chazal. When a person comes back, he's going to come back with the same ailments that he had before he died. And then he will be healed. He'll be healed. So what does that mean exactly?
But that was like you said yesterday, when it comes back as a 30-year-old or a
70-year-old. What does that mean? It's very unsettling. We got guys that come back 100 years old, with all bent over with white hair. Who's interested? You want to come back in your prime. You want to come back. You know, you want to come back, and you know, a young person. So listen, all of this is all very...
Before Shemini Gemara say that, you know, you're asking me, the question you're asking is like crazy. In other words, you believe in the Chiyas HaMeisim, your problem is that if he had a bullet hole in him when he died,
yeah, exactly.
You're worried about that.
You're worried about that.
But you believe he's going to come back to life from the ground. He's
so what does this mean?
Silly question.
Listen.
That's
no, no one knows what this means. No clue. But you're not an advantage. Because at least you have here the basic building blocks. You have the psukim, the rishonim, you have the basic building blocks. So when it happens, you will have a very deep appreciation of what's happening relative to those people, unfortunately, who never got around to learning these psukim. All right, let's go further. Okay, we did the Rashi. Let's see the. Let's see the Radak. Radak possibly stupsugim possibly koyim Hashem maybe vochem ruach achar habasa v'ha'ar v'agidim k'moshem possibly ha'acher al hasedes. So look what he does. Look what he does over here. He does something very shocking. The Radak. Radak takes note of the repetition of why it says ruach. Why ruach v'ch yisem? And he says there's no repetition. It's the same thing. It's repeating the same thing. There are no two dimensions of life. It's very simple. This one ruach will come back to life once, not twice. Don't get carried away here. Don't make any long drushes here. It's poetic repetition. Nothing more than that. Pasik vav. Vinasari, that's very unusual for the Radak. The Radak is more of the one to tell you the significance of why things are repeated. Pasik vav.
Well, he says that this is the order that things would happen, as opposed to before. It was giving you the building blocks. Now it says how.
But he's saying when it says here in Pasik Hey, the Chisem is referring to what's going to happen in Pasik Vav. It's the same thing.
The order.
But there's repetition. All right. That's how he learns it. It's a very simple interpretation. Pasik Vav. V'nasati aleichem gidim ki heim tchilas yitziras havolot usichunaso. Ki rabbe mehem nikshorois bo'atzamos. Many of these sinews, they attach themselves to the bones. The achar hagidim habosar. The achar kacho or. Kihu elyonen comes the R. Umash amar iav. So right away he addressed the question. First of all, take note that he says that gidin come before anything else. The gidin, even in a baby, comes first. And then he quotes the pasuk and says, "Umash amar iav R ubasar tal bisheni uva atzamos the gidim tisecheni." Which is mash. First comes R ubasar, and then comes the atzamos the gidim. Lo yomar shecha R ubasar heim techila biyitzira. Don't take that pasuk literally. It says the word tal bisheni, which means a levush, shame kmo levushu elyon. So he says something very shocking. He had a very bad day, Radak, and somebody wrote this derech. He's very, very uncharacteristic of the Radak to be much more midrashic and more of a drush bent. He had a bad day here today, and he takes everything very literally, and he says in Sefer Iyov, Iyov was not giving you an order. The correct order is the way it says it in Sefer Yecheskel. It's all the same. Even when a baby is born in the mother's womb, it's formed. It's also in the order of Tchias HaMesim, which is first comes the Gidin, then comes the Basar, then comes the Gidin and the Atzamos. Everything, the order is the same. The Gidin, the Atzamos, the Basar, and the R. Now, why don't we just ask a doctor? Ask a doctor to tell us how it works. So obviously, it's not so simple. Obviously, everything's happening together, right? Everything's happening together. So what is really happening first? It's a matter of perspective. Okay, you can spin it one way or another way. You can take all the best doctors and you can analyze the situation, and you'll have everyone will tell you, well, my understanding, it's this happening first, and the other group will tell you the other way around. It's not so simple, obviously. The way the baby is formed, it's very complex. Everything is really, from our perspective, appears to be happening together, and that's why it's not a kasha, why the Radak is chelik on Rashi as to the seder. It's a mitzias, right? It's a mitzias. Just go to the maternity ward and go ask the doctors. No, obviously it's not so simple, and he's telling us that there's no contradiction. Sefer really, really is written out of order. It's just poetic, and the correct order is the way it says in Sefer Yecheskel, and the proof is it says with Tal Bisheni in regard to the bones and the Basar and the R, and the word Levush can only be used if it's happening at the end. Vekoramti, this is a grammar in Radak, Poel Yotze, Vayikram Aleim R, Poel Oimed Kamoshama Gamkein, Vivosa Alav Ruin Kurum, the word means a membrane, Vidivri Arabasein Zal, okay, Amru. This is bread, challah. At what point in time is the term the chame? I don't remember what it's referring to in the Gemara, but it's bread, it forms a crust. Yeah. Likewise, the or on a person's body is the crust.
Yeah.
A person is, literally, a person is the challah. Yeah,
the same thing with the French, which you omitted in the Rashi, also means crust.
Crust.
And crust.
Ishing the Radak is using this as a metaphor for a human being, because Chazal said, why is an Isha, does she take Chala? Because she is responsible for destroying the Chalosoy Shel Oilam. Hashem made man like a woman bakes a loaf of bread. Hashem took some earth, and he took some water, and he mixed it together. And what Hashem took was the Chala, there was a whole world. And Hashem took a small amount. Hashem lifted the Chalosoy Shel Oilam. And what did Chava do? She destroyed this product by having Adam eat from the Eitz Hadas. So she has to make tikkun. Her tikkun is that when she bakes bread, because bread is the mashal of man, she has to be mafer shchala. So that means from this medrash you learn that a human being is like a piece of bread. And the piece of bread, when you put it in the oven, it forms a crust. And here we use that same terminology, is that the ore, man's skin, is the crust of the loaf of bread as it's heated up in the oven. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. We have another few minutes. Next pasuk Zion. So now we begin the next section. The next section is Yechezkel proceeds. He's been trained, he's been instructed, and now he enters the practice. He hangs up a shingle, he goes into the business of Techiyas HaMeisim. It's a good business. It's a very good business. I'm sure you can find a lot of customers for this. And now, Vini Besi Kasher Tsuvesi. I prophesied according to what I've been commanded. Vayikol Kihi Navi. There was a spirit, a sound, as I said, prophecy. Vihine Rash. And there was an earthquake. Vatikrivu Atzamos Etzem El Atzmo. Okay, this is a beautiful idea. The bones were attached, each one to itself. Now, on a very simple level, it means that the bones connected one to another. That's not literally what it says. It says literally etzem el atzmo. The bone attached itself to itself, and that's how man is created. And that, before we read the Mefarshim, there's a mussar in this, and that is to be a person. The first thing you need to be, the first part of the process before you even get to the gidin and the basar and the ar, is the bones. And the first thing is not only the connecting of one bone to the next bone, is each bone should be a real bone. You have to be true to your principles. Etzem comes from the word atzmo, the atzmiut, your essence. Person believes in something, but you don't really believe in it. You don't practice it. Yeah, I know this is true, but not for me. I'm not interested. I'm busy. I have tivus, the Yetzer Sahara. The first step in being a man is Vatikrivu Atzamos Etzem El Atzmo. Whatever you believe in has to come forth. It has to be in full form, in its full beauty. Don't write a thesis on principles in life and then just, you know, you're out to lunch.
I mean, a lot of expressions like this, like something is so much a part of you that
part of you. Exactly. So here it says the etzem el atzmo. This is the first step in being a man. You have to be true to yourself. Let's see this pasuk Zion in the mitzvah stuff. But he called it with a loud voice. Before we go further, we have to remember this. Chazal say there are three keys. Hashem has in his hand three keys that he does not give to anyone else until he wants. What are they?
Rain,
matar, parnasa, which is parnasa, rain, a birth, childbirth. Okay, the koyach that a woman can conceive and give birth, open up the rechem, and number three is tchias hameisim. And the Gemara says v'yeshem. Some say what else? What was the other one? The Gemara says because v'yeshem is the fourth. I don't remember. It's first off from Sakhtainis. First off, so tchias hameisim is the only Hashem does tchias hameisim, but it's described as a key. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu at times he gives these keys to people. Here Hashem is giving Yechezkel the key to Techiyas HaMeisim. The one that is doing Techiyas HaMeisim is not Hashem. It's Yechezkel. That's what it says. I mean, obviously, it's through the koyach that Hashem gave him, but Hashem is giving Yechezkel, Yechezkel is the one that will be Mechaye Meisim.
So
it's separate. Only while you have the key. Hashem then says, give me back the key. I want it back. I'll change the locks if you don't give me back the keys. So this itself is also a very fascinating thought, idea that Ma'is Avol Simul Banim, that the time of Mashiach, who will be the one that will be Mechayim Esim? Is it Hashem? No one knows how things are going to play out. But since this is the Nevuah that describes the Ma'is Avol Simul Banim to Tchiyas HaMesim, that means that when Mashiach comes, the Tchiyas HaMesim is not going to happen by Hashem. It's going to happen through our leaders. The leaders, the leaders of the generation who are in the place of the Nevi'im, okay, they're on the place, they are going to be the ones who are going to Mechayim Esim. Now, that it has many, many layers of meaning. Of course, it means simply means Mamash coming out of the grave, but also means, look at this generation. This generation was resurrected in America. Look what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. It's Mamash, it's unbelievable how much life is going on in Eretz Yisrael. And who brought this about? It just happened by itself? Didn't happen by itself. They were Gedolim. They were very great people, inspiring people that you can trace the success of in America. You can trace it. You mentioned, yes, all the Gedolim. Talk about the Satnerov, Lubavitch, or of Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, or of Huttner, or of Moshe Feinstein. You talk about certain people of enormous influence. Everyone in each category has people they look up to, and there's no question about it. Their charisma and their koichas are the ones who brought back Tchiyas HaMesim. It didn't just happen by itself. In America, things happen by itself. No one went along and told the world, okay, we're now gonna invest in fidget spinners. Okay, things happen. Just suddenly there are trends. People just pick up things and trends happen. There's no major influence for trends to develop in society. But when it comes to the rebuilding of Klal Yisrael, Hashem says, I'm not doing this. I'm not getting involved. I'm giving you, Yecheskel, the koyach to bring about Tchiyas HaMesim. I'm giving you instructions what to do, and now you, and Yecheskel goes forward, Vini Beisi Kasher Tzuvesi, Vayi Koil, and he gives forth his message. The earth shakes. America has shaken. Eretz Yisrael has shaken. The whole world has shaken through the koyach of these charismatic leaders who have inspired the masses and have produced already three generations, grandchildren, great-grandchildren from these people who were here after World War II, who were in America, who had enormous influence. Look at the Peros. You can't say it's not that Hashem said, I don't want. I'm going to help out, of course. Listen, I'm going to, of course, behind the scenes. No one's denying that. But I want the leaders to take the lead in bringing back the Tchiyas HaMesim. The Mefarshim, they all mention this type of idea. Okay, and this is a mashal. And then, of course, you're dealing with the real Tchiyas HaMesim coming out of the ground. That's also going to be appears through the Navi is going to be the one that's going to do this. Let's see over here. Just the three portions. We're going to stop. Pasuk Zayin first in the Mitzudos. So he called in a ruach va'aviv anoshev. There was a sound that came from this ruach. Nidnud utnuah minatzamos. The bones began to shake and to move. The karav kolechad elo etzim hadavuk bo kishah yichai. And each bone was aligned, was realigned with the bone that it was connected to when it was alive. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk zayin vayikol v'hinei rash ha'atzamos shehoyu toifchin ze lo ze. They were banging one against the other. Etzem el atzmo atzmos kol echad kol mokoyim shenispazru. The bones, wherever they were dispersed, hoyu koifzin, they jumped out of the ground. Umiskarvin kol echad ve'echad etzel mekoyim chiburo. Miracle. Each bone, bones were all over the place. They just connected. They connect to where they belong. Radak, pasuk zayin v'nibesia gave a prophecy. V'divru atzamos shekavar nifidu miish mial achiv alorech zman. V'amar v'atik revu l'shon nikeva b'simin echel levad ki al aroy v'yamar b'shnei simonim. That I don't know what this means. Let's go to the next thing. Maskil etzem el atzmo hu b'lashon zochav v'retzolema etzem el etzem haroy lidavek bo kifi hayitzira. So again, the simple translation is, Etzem el atzmo means one bone next to the next bone. That is not the literal translation. That is a very liberal, very drush type of translation. The deeper translation is each bone stood up for itself.
Connected.
Vatikru atzmos, they connected etzem, one etzem el atzmo to itself. That's the literal translation. El Atzmo, everyone is translating to the next bone.
No, well, you can take that too. Atzmo as oneself, or Atzmo as to its corresponding bone.
Corresponding bone. In other words, to another bone. Yes. That's not the literal translation. You're not going to convince me. All right, we're going to stop here. We'll take a short break. Pasuk Ches.